Discover how you can have a new life in Christ, because our pathway away from God has brought its consequences. The split second we die physically, your soul, my soul, our souls, all believers and non-believers, will meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that time we will immediately enter into eternity into one of two places. When you die, you're going to either heaven or hell. It's your choice, and you can only make that choice during this lifetime. Heaven and hell are real, and it's your choice where you end up after this life. Hell really does exist, and it is worse than you can ever imagine. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, mentioned in Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell was designed for spirit beings and not human beings. Then why can human beings go to hell? Because they choose to. The Word of God warns about hell, describing it with images of darkness, gnashing of teeth, fire. The fire that burns them will not be quenched, mentioned in Isaiah 66, verse 24, and complete separation from God. Hell and the lake of fire is the default destination of every human being, because we have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Failure or refusal to make a choice is the same as saying no to God and to the eternal life that God the Father offers through Jesus Christ, His Son. This means that you have chosen to spend the rest of your eternal existence without God. This choice to be without God for the rest of eternity guarantees you an eternal existence in hell and the lake of fire. Romans 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Matthew 25 verse 30, Jesus called hell a place of outer darkness. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Mark 9 verse 48, "The worms that eat the people in hell never die. The fire there is never stopped. There is a day of judgment coming." We are made aware of this in Hebrews 9 verses 27 to 28, which says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." Everyone who rejects the salvation offered by God through his Son Jesus Christ is known as a non-believer, and the judgment that all non-believers will face is called the Great White Throne Judgment, which is explained in Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." However, you don't have to go there, because God made a way for you to be saved. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can have a new life in Christ and become born again. Jesus has said in Matthew 11 verses 28 to 29, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you come to Him in faith for the forgiveness of your sins that He already paid for through His blood on the cross, you become a new creation in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." After coming to Christ in faith, these verses below are given to us by God so we can learn from Him. You will learn who He is, what He has done for you and me, who we were before coming to Him in faith, and who we are to be now that we have come to Him in faith and have been born again. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 8 says who God is. He is love, is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 14 mentions God's rich blessings. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For He chose us in Him, before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in love before Him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. In Him we have also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the One who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to His glory. In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the possession, to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1 verses 17 to 19 says, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of His strength." God's power in Christ is mentioned in Ephesians 1 verses 20 to 23, which says, "He exercised this power in Christ by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavens far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He subjected everything under His feet and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the One who fills all things in every way." Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 22 says, "We are brought from death to life," and says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the Spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So, then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So, then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Ephesians 4 verses 17 to 32 mentions living the new life and says, "Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 1 to 20 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God, as dearly loved children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this. Every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, 'Get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 verses 1 to 16 mentions Christian humility and says, if then there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world, by holding firm to the word of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. Colossians 1 verses 9 to 22 is a prayer for spiritual growth and says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death, to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2 verses 6 to 15 says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 10 mentions the life of the new man and says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient, and you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now, put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator." Colossians 3 verses 12 to 21 mentions the Christian life and says, "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they won't become discouraged." Colossians 3 verses 23 to 25 says, "Whatever you do, do it from the heart, as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism." Colossians 4 verse 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. So, how can I be saved from death and forgiven of my sins? And what do I need to do?" There is no more important issue than our eternal destiny. Thankfully, the Bible is abundantly clear on how a person can be saved. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 to 4 mentions about the risen Christ, faith's reality, and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus died in your place for your sins, and took the wrath and the judgment of God that was meant for you upon himself. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave in triumphant victory, defeating death and conquering sin. Jesus did this for you, so that through him and what he has done for you at the cross, you don't have to face death, which is eternal separation from God. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in what he has already done for you at the cross, Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, then rose from the grave on the third day. Then by the grace of God, and not by your own doing, you will be saved, born again, so that you may have eternal life through him. God has already done all of the work for you. All you need to do is receive by faith the salvation that God offers. God is offering you salvation as a gift. All you have to do is accept it. It's mentioned in Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So what is eternal life? The Bible inextricably links eternal life with the person of Jesus Christ. It's recorded in John 17 verse 3, where Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Jesus equates eternal life with a knowledge of God and of the Son. There is no knowledge of God without the Son, for it is through the Son that the Father reveals himself. Right now, every sinner, which is everyone, you and me, is invited to know Christ and to receive eternal life. Revelation 22 verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." How can you know that you are saved and have received eternal life? First, confess your sin before God. Then accept God's provision of a Savior on your behalf. This is explained in Romans 10 verses 9 to 13, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fully trust in Jesus alone as the payment for your sins. Believe in him, and you will not perish. God's love for you is explained in John 3 verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has shown us how easy it is to be forgiven and saved. It is explained to us in the book of Luke. The criminal on the cross, before he dies, is forgiven and saved, and is with Jesus right now, in heaven enjoying life for the rest of eternity. How'd he do it? 1. He admitted he was a sinner and confessed of his sins. Luke 23 verse 40, "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" Luke 23 verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." 2. He went and turned to Jesus and confessed, believed, that he, Jesus, as the Lord. Luke 23 verse 42, "Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The thief on the cross fulfilled Romans 10 verse 9 that says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The thief confessed Jesus as Lord and believed Jesus would live again, that God would raise Jesus back to life after the cross and Jesus would be in his kingdom again. 3. Then we find in a matter of seconds the criminal is forgiven of his sins, all wrongdoings, and has been given eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Luke 23 verse 43, "And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You can have a new life in Christ today if you receive and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can overcome the fear of death because God offers eternal life through his Son to all who come to him for it. There are three types of death: emotional, physical, and eternal. Emotional death is what we struggle with on a daily basis, dealing with our feelings, emotions, ourselves, and other people. Physical death is when you die physically. Your body stops functioning. And then there is eternal death. Eternal death is separation from the presence and goodness of God, and it lasts forever. But God is offering you eternal life, which is an eternal relationship with Him now, through His Son, Jesus Christ, that will last for all eternity. 1 John 5, verse 11 says, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." You are now probably wondering what to say and how to do it, like the criminal next to Jesus did. You need to know, there is no magical formula or prayer that will save you. It's what you say to God from your heart, and you come to Him in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is relational communication with God. God wants you to come to Him with all your needs, desires, problems, and anything else you want to talk with Him about. That can mean thanking Him, praising Him, confessing something you've done wrong, or expressing a need you have. It can mean talking to Him as you would to a friend. Learning how to pray is really about developing a relationship with God. Relationships are built on moments of connection and communication. But how do you do that with the God of the universe? Prayer is a supernatural activity. It's talking with a God who is unlike anyone else. He has a personality and qualities you can understand and relate to, but you cannot expect to relate to God in exactly the way you might to a close friend or family member. He's so much bigger and more incredible than that. How do I pray? First, know that there is no secret formula to pray. God simply delights in us coming to Him in honesty. You can start by addressing God directly in a way that acknowledges His uniqueness. People will say things such as "Father God" or "Heavenly Father" or "Almighty God." How you choose to address Him will remind you of who you are talking to and what He represents in your life. When and where do I pray? Anytime and anywhere can work, but it's helpful to find a distraction-free time and place if possible. God deserves your focused attention, and you might find it harder to listen to Him in a busy place. Some people create a space in their homes, like a prayer closet, for this purpose. Others will choose a favorite park or coffee shop. What position should I be in to pray? You can bow, kneel, stand, or walk around when you pray. God will hear you whatever you do, so choose a position that helps you focus. Here's one simple step to receive salvation, forgiveness, and the gift of eternal life. This is all done by believing through faith that God is true in all His words and faithful to do all He says He will do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 5 verse 24 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." This is the only step you need to take to receive salvation. 1. You confess to God, believing in your heart, that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and you repent, which means having a desire to turn from your sins, seeking His forgiveness, and believing through faith that Jesus is who He says He is, the Lord, the Son of God, and believe through faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross. He died in your place for your sins. And He was buried, and after 3 days He rose out of the grave in order to give you and me new life through Him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When you confess and make the decision to believe and accept God's offer of salvation, how you go about what you say and how you say it is up to you. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Do you believe through faith that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God who died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the grave 3 days later? Do you believe what is written in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 to 4, which says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." If you do, then congratulations. You are now born again, forgiven and redeemed, and you have entered into a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. God now sees you in his sight as if you've never sinned, because your sin was placed on Jesus Christ at the cross, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been credited to you. And this is the best part. In Hebrews 8 verse 12 it is written, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more."